It's my honor to come tonight and be part of this. It's funny the way you described our relationship going all the way back to college. Keep doing it, man. This is good. This is good stuff. The charge that I'm going to give you tonight is going to come from Revelation chapter 22. And I'm going to read that whole chapter just in case the rest of the sermon bombs. At least you'll have the word. Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. And they will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they might enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen." My charge to you tonight, Mark, has to do with vision. After 15 years of ministry, both of us know sometimes we can get caught up in the day's work, the ins and outs of pastoral ministry, and sometimes lose sight of the big picture. It seemed fitting to me then to bring you to the last chapter in the last book of the Bible and the vision that it sets before you there, because that will be the vision that you'll be setting before the congregation. They say that a good leader has vision. And that vision is that which he sets before those under him. And with that vision, they'll follow. The vision you have here, Revelation 22, clearly in the first five verses, is that of the consummate, glorious rest and inheritance of the people of God. As a shepherd, this is where you're leading them. This is your job, to shepherd them to this place, to bring them like a doorkeeper in the house of God, to open the door and say, "Come in, welcome home." This vision that John sets before us of the new heavens and the new earth is simply glorious. You're leading them to this, the to streams of true living water. You're leading them to the throne of the one who is the life of his people. You're leading them to that day when they're going to get to see him face to face. That's glorious. That's a vision that we can labor for. That's a vision that can inspire us in our ministry. It's the greatest vision there is, to lead God's people to their Savior, to their God, to this rest. No evil, no cursedness. Life forever in the presence of God. That's where you're leading them. And there's a motivation given you as you lead them in this chapter. I'm not going to talk about everything in the chapter, but I do want to charge you, encourage you with some of the motivations you have here. Three times in this final chapter, the concluding chapter of the whole book of the Bible, we hear this promise, we hear this warning from the mouth of Jesus Christ himself, I am coming soon. Verse 7, verse 12, verse 20, I am coming soon. Three times, in the beginning, in the middle of this chapter, at the end of the chapter, I am coming soon. The nearness, the imminence of Christ's coming, his return, and therefore the ushering in of the new heavens and the new earth and the bringing of his judgment and recompense, this ought to be something that daily is on your mind, that is with you when you're in the study, that is giving a sense of joyous yet sober urgency to everything you do. He really is coming soon, at any time. You don't know when he comes. And he's called you to do this work. And he's saying, but be ready. Don't slack off. Don't forget, I'm coming soon. That vision of where you're leading the people, the one who actually brings it into fruition, he could appear at any time. And that does give a serious sense of urgency and joy to our ministry. And I charge you, encourage you, to ever keep that in mind. The vision, the big picture, and the imminency of its arrival, of his arrival. That would be the day, the hour, when we're finally going to meet him. And you should have that urgency pour out from you to the congregation. We're going to meet him. We're going to meet him at any time. He is coming soon. And this vision that I've been talking about, that I'm preaching about, it is already yours and you're going to enter into it. Just keep pressing on. Be steadfast. Endure for a little while longer. He's coming. And this will all be yours. I'm coming soon. You know, the church in the first century heard these words as they were suffering under the Roman Empire, described in the Bible, in Revelation, as with all the other nations, described as the beast. They were living in a corrupt and idolatrous world, described as Babylon. And we are also today, in the 21st century, living still in that same world, maybe not under the Roman Empire, but under a beast, as it were, because they're all described that way in Revelation. I'm not disparaging any one particular country or nation at this point. They're all described that way. And living in this same world, we also need to hear, and you need to be setting before your hearers the truth. He is coming soon. Hold on. He's coming soon. These words are as true in our day as they were when John first preached them in his day. And this has always been this reality, this imminence of Christ's coming. Though certain periods in our own lives, certain periods in church history, certain periods in our own ministry, we forget that. We lose sight of it. We kind of gets put on a back burner with other concerns press upon us. But this is our hope. This is the gospel hope that we're called to proclaim. Nothing less, nothing more than this. He's coming. You're going to meet him anytime. That's the hope that you are charged to set before this congregation. And I know you already know this, but it's by way of reminder. I'm encouraging you not only to avoid yourself getting caught up in anything less than this, but to encourage your congregation not to get caught up in anything less than this Christian hope. He is coming soon, and that vision, that's where we're headed. Help the congregation not get caught up in culture wars. We get so entangled in that. I mean, Pastor Sim's sermon just now was apropos. Where's your love, really? What really matters to you? Are you lovers of your rights? Does that matter to you more than anything else? Don't get caught up in the culture wars. Don't get caught up in dreams of Christendom, nationalism, materialism, politics, any of those other temporal cares and concerns that we have in this world. Encourage your congregation, encourage the sheep to frame their minds, to frame their hearts, their words and their actions, to frame their very lives, not by these vapid concerns of the day or by their Facebook feeds, but by this reality: I am coming soon. That's the first point. The second one that I think is strongly emphasized here in this chapter as well is, how are you going to encourage them? What is going to be that from which you encourage them? Three times in this chapter as well, at least three times, you have a reminder here of what you're preaching from. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book, verse 7. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book, verse 9. Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near, verse 10. And then down again, I guess it's four times, then again at the end, verses 18 and 19. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, you know, don't add to it, don't take away from it. Christ is coming soon. Will he find faith on earth when he comes? If he does find faith, where did it come from? How is it nourished? How is it strengthened? When he comes and he finds faith, what will it look like? It will look like a people who've had good shepherding, a people who are holding fast to what God has revealed to them in his word. It will look like a people believing the Bible, trusting in the promises of God, and standing on what God teaches in his word. It will look like a church refusing to cut parts out of the Bible because the world around it doesn't like those parts, or because she herself sometimes finds those parts difficult. It will be a faith that he will find when he comes. It will be a faith that has been formed by the word of God, and nothing less. It will look like a church jealous for the word of God because God is jealous for his word and for his bride. And you know well that it is by the word of God that he is saving and protecting his church from the lies, from the sin, from the disordered, sinful hearts. It's by his word that he's correcting those things in us. So, corresponding to what that faith will look like, the pulpit ministry will look like a ministry that is taking great care not to add or subtract from that word. A ministry that proclaims the whole counsel of God, the whole counsel of Christ's kingdom and salvation. It will be a ministry that will eschew the wisdom and traditions of men and is ever reliant upon the wisdom of God, the apostolic tradition that has been passed down to us in Scripture alone. And it will look like a church eagerly attending to all that has been written, the proclamation of the word. They're coming to church. They need this. They want more of this word. Thirsty for it. That vision. Tell me more about it. Plumbing the depths of Scripture prayerfully. A church continually refreshing itself in the springs of living water that are flowing from that throne. The God-breathed, Spirit-inspired word of Christ. is what you're called to proclaim. That's it. And finally, I would encourage you, I would charge you by what we see, and this just struck me recently as I was reading this chapter. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Another repetition of the word come several times. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come, let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. Now, as an evangelist myself, called as a church planter, that verse really hit me. It really struck me, especially the fact that it's not just God that's doing the calling, it's the bride saying, come. Come as well. You, while called to be the pastor here, are always going to be doing the work of an evangelist as well. And I charge you by this word. Be often, be regular, be consistently saying, come. Christ is coming soon. The proclamation of the word of God is preeminent as God's means of bringing the lost to himself. It's how God is saying to sinners, come. And you'll be doing that. I mean, that's your job. That's what you're charged with here. And not just you, your proclamation of that word and your consistent doing that work of an evangelist saying, come, will have an effect on the congregation. It will develop a culture in the congregation so that the whole bride is saying, yeah, come. Come. A culture of welcome, as in, well, welcome. Now, you know well that only those who hear and respond to this summons by faith, this word from Christ, preached by you, saying, come, and they respond to that, only these will have access to that vision, that tree of life, that throne, coming in by the gates to the presence of God to see his face. So it's not improper ever. In fact, it's imperative that your ministry always include an urgent, he's coming, and heartfelt plea for sinners to come, to repent and believe the gospel of the one who is coming soon. And even professing Christians, the congregation, they're going to need to hear this as well. Come. Because we always feel the pull, the temptation to turn aside from Christ and set our hearts, our love on something else. So we need to hear from you, a regular, urgent, come back. Return to me. He's coming soon. You forgot the vision. What are you clinging on to? Look at that and come. The Spirit says, come. The church, the bride, says, come. With compassion, with consistency, with conviction, preach. Come to Christ. There are many in the world who are drowning in their sins. They're laboring under the full weight of guilt and shame. They're in bondage to the one who's holding them captive to the fear of death. Make sure your preaching includes, come, you thirsty. Come, you heavy laden. You despairing of hope. Come and eat. Eat this. The tree of life. Come and drink of the water of life. You're thirsty. I can see it. Come and find rest and refreshment for your souls in Christ. So that's it. That's the charge. Christ is coming soon. Don't forget it. Let it be the urgency that drives your ministry. His word, and only his word, is that which you're going to be using to prepare the congregation to meet him and the lost to come to him and invite, welcome, and be ready as a good and faithful shepherd when he comes again. That's your ministry. Amen. Oh.